Awesome. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, and we're going to view the cross from the cross. This is the psalm in which we view the cross from the cross. We're going to look at the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. Obviously, we will not be able to tarry on each one very long, but as tonight we break bread and we drink the cup, we want to focus on the seven sayings of our Lord as he uttered them from the cross. This is a psalm of David, but it is a psalm in which David speaks prophetically of Jesus Christ. Over 800 years before Jesus was born, David spoke of Christ. And he spoke in graphic detail of Jesus' death by crucifixion on the cross. As you come to Psalm 22, you are in the Garden of Gethsemane of Scripture. You are in the Holy of Holies. It is a marvelous, marvelous psalm. Psalm 22, let's pray. Father, we bow our hearts and our heads before you. We ask that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and show us the things of God. As we break the bread and we drink the cup tonight, may the things of Christ be opened unto us tonight. May our eyes be opened. May our hearts be touched. May we be broken and humbled and drawn to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, our desire tonight is that Jesus, that you be glorified, that you be magnified, that you be lifted up. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. It's all about you. You suffered and you died and you gave your life on that cross, that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed, that we might be washed, that we might be made clean. So, Lord, may each one of us come tonight with humble, grateful, thankful hearts. And Lord Jesus, that we might come and remember what you did for us so long ago on Calvary's cross. We ask that you'll speak now and work in our hearts by your Spirit. We'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' precious name, and everyone agreeing said, amen. We see in Psalm 22, as I've already pointed out, the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross, and I want to give them to you as we go through. The first word that we see of Jesus that he uttered from the cross is the word of agony, verses 1 to 6. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Why art thou so far from my, why art thou from far from the words of my roaring? Verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted that thou didst not deliver them. They cried unto thee, and they were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, a no man, a reproach of men, and despised among the people. The psalm is recorded as David speaks prophetically. We have the words that Jesus actually uttered as he hung upon the cross. Now, Jesus, when he hung upon the cross, was on the cross for 6 hours. From 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the last 3 hours that Jesus was on the cross, there was a darkness over the whole earth. And as Jesus was hanging on the cross, he cried these very words we see here in verse 1, the words of agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are words that no mortal mind can enter into and comprehend or understand. God forsaken of God. The Son of God forsaken by God the Father. The idea that the Son of God, who had known communion with God the Father from all eternity past, when at this point in time, as he hung upon the cross, made sin for man, be separated from God the Father. The question is, why would God the Father abandon God the Son? The only answer that we could come up with is in verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." The idea is that this very moment, your sins, my sins, our sins were being placed upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The essence of the cross, and if you miss this, you miss the cross, is that Jesus' death upon the cross was substitutionary. That when he died on the cross, our sins were placed on the sinless Lamb of God. That your sins, my sins, and the sins of the whole world were being placed upon him, the sinless Lamb of God. He became our substitute. He took our place. And as that sin bearer, that substitute, at that very moment, in some deep mystical way that we can't comprehend or understand, God the Father had to turn his back for a brief moment on God the Son. Is it any wonder when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he realized what he was facing at the cross, he said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And it was impossible that God could redeem sinners apart from the death of the Son of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus went to that cross. He bore our sins, and he was separated from the Father. But the amazing thought is that he was separated from God so that you and I would never, ever have to be separated from God. Amen. And if you are a child of God, if you have been born again, you need never cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because God was forsaken of his Father. Jesus was forsaken of the Father so that you and I would never have to be forsaken. You might feel forsaken, but Jesus gave us a promise, one of my favorite promises. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Amen. He was forsaken so that we would never have to be forsaken. The word of agony. The second word that we see that Jesus uttered from the cross, the background for it is in verses 7 and 8. It's the word of forgiveness. He says, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn," verse 7. "They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him,' seeing that he trusted or delighted in him." This is the word of forgiveness. This is where they gathered round Jesus as he hung on the cross. And they mocked him and they ridiculed him. And the Jews wagged their head. And they spitted him. They ridiculed him. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Son of God." And yet Jesus, hanging there on that cross, said these amazing words. I scarce can comprehend it. He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I can't comprehend that. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amazing love that Jesus Christ, while hanging on the cross, would pray for those who are mocking him and ridiculing him, the word of forgiveness. And tonight, God has the word of forgiveness for you. God will forgive your sins. He says, "Your sins and your iniquities I will," what? "Remember no more." That's good news, amen? Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Praise the Lord. As you hold the bread in your hand, it's a symbol of the broken body of Jesus Christ. As you hold that cup, it's a symbol of the new covenant in Christ's blood. His body was broken, his blood was shed, so that your sins can be forgiven. You know, the idea of forgiveness has in it the concept of to carry away. And in the Old Testament, they had what they called a scapegoat. And the scapegoat was a goat in which the people would place their hands on the goat, symbolically transferring their sins to this goat, and then the goat would be released and run off over a distant hill. And no greater joy would come to them to see that goat just peel off in the distance and disappear over the hill. Bye-bye, goat. There go my sins. The goat turned around and came back, they'd throw rocks at it, you know. Jesus Christ has carried away our sin. John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, remember, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who carries away the sin of the world." Tonight, as you take the bread and you drink the cup, remember, he's forgiven all of your sins. Word number 3, verses 19 to 14, is the word of affection. Verse 9 to 14. "But thou art he that has took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me to hope when I was in my mother's breast, upon my brother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb," verse 10. "Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have set me round. They have gaped upon me with the mouth, and ravening as roaring lions. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." Again, 800 years before even Rome existed and had created crucifixion as a means of capital punishment, David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes graphically death by crucifixion. This is one of the great evidences that the Bible is the inspired word of God. He describes death by crucifixion. Here we have the background for the word of affection. "Thou hast taken me from my mother's womb." When Jesus was hanging on the cross, you remember who was standing there? His mother, Mary. Remember the prophecy of the old man Simeon as Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple? And Simeon scooped up the little baby in his arms and he says, "This child is set for the rising and fall of many in Israel." And he looked at Mary and he said, "A sword will pierce through your own soul." I want you to think for just a moment what it must have been like for Mary stand at the foot of the cross and watch her son be crucified. Try to feel what she felt and imagine what it would have been like for her as a mother to stand at the foot of the cross and watch her son crucified. And Jesus, as he's hanging there being crucified, John the apostle is standing next to his mother. All the other apostles have forsaken him and fled. And Jesus looks down at John and his mother. And he says, "Woman, behold thy son." And then he says to John, he says, "Behold thy mother." In that time when he's taking the sins of the world upon him, he's being mocked and persecuted and ridiculed. He's dying a criminal's death, he's thinking of his mother. He's taking care of his mother. He's entrusting the care of his mother to the Apostle John. He's saying, "Behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son." And from that day forward, John took Mary into his home and he cared for her. Such love, amazing to me. If I were hanging on the cross dying for sins, I wouldn't be worrying about anybody else but me. I would be crying for my mother, let alone worried about who's going to take care of my mother. This is the word of affection. Word number 4, the background for it is in verse 15 to 18. "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, a piece of dry pottery. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For the dogs have compassed me, assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced, notice the graphic description again of crucifixion. They pierced my hands and my feet. There's no way you could apply this to David. Again, David speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and they cast lots for my vesture. This is the word of humanity. Jesus says here, I thirst. Notice in verse 15, my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. When Jesus hung on the cross, another utterance that he made when he was hanging on the cross was, I thirst. He who came to bring living water, he who came as the water of life, he who came as the rock smitten, who out of would gush forth living water. Remember that rock that they smote in the Old Testament? And the water came out. The Bible says that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. So Jesus now himself, as he hangs on the cross, because not only was he God, but he was also man in his humanity, Jesus says, I thirst. Someone hearing that takes a stick and puts a sponge on it, fills it with vinegar, and goes up and puts it on his lips. And Jesus was thirsty so that I could drink of the water of life. Jesus was thirsty so that I could have the water of life, so that I could have in my innermost being the well springing up of everlasting life. The background for word number 5 is verse 19 to 23. It's the word of committal. I love this. In verse 19, but thou art not far from me, O thou Lord, O my strength, haste thou to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name, verse 22, unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will praise thee. You that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seeds of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. This is the word of committal. Jesus at this point says, into thy hands I commit my spirit. As he was talking again to the Father, Jesus committed his spirit to the Father. This is the word of committal. The word of committal. As he hung upon the cross and he committed his spirit, Jesus, referring to the cross, said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up. And when he was on the cross, he actually dismissed his spirit. Father, into thy hands I dismiss my spirit. The word of committal. Word number 6, verse 26, beginning in verse 24, it says, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Verse 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Notice it, your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. This is the word of salvation. the word of salvation. Verse 26 is the background for this word. Jesus, as he was hanging on the cross, the Bible tells us that he hung between two thieves, right? One on the right, one on the left. At the beginning, both thieves railed on him, reviled him. And then eventually, one of the thieves turned to him in faith and said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And Jesus said to that thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Can you imagine getting saved on a cross? You talk about a deathbed conversion. This is a death cross conversion. "Today you will be with me in paradise." Salvation only takes a moment. It just takes a look of faith. Two individuals, equally sinful. One turned away in unbelief. The other one turned in faith and believed. It's that simple. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus didn't say, "I'm sorry, dude, you didn't go to church. Sorry, man, you haven't been baptized. Sorry, you haven't had communion. You really should have gone to revival on Wednesday night, taking communion." Let me make this clear. Communion does not save you. You can eat all the little pieces of bread you want. It won't get your soul to heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ alone will cleanse you from sin. That's the only thing that will get you to heaven. Going to church won't get you to heaven. Being baptized won't get you to heaven. Christian haircut won't get you to heaven. Whatever that is. Christian clothes won't get you to heaven. Singing in the choir won't get you to heaven. It's faith in Jesus Christ, receiving Christ as your Savior. That's what saves you. And this person in the last moment of life turned to Jesus. He might have had a praying mother for all we know. And by the way, he might have had people praying for him that had no knowledge of the fact that he got saved at the last moment of death. So don't ever give up. Don't ever get discouraged. There's times people get saved when you don't even know they got saved. You need to have hope in God. This is the word of salvation. And this man turned to Jesus Christ at the last moment and was saved. And then word number seven. I love it. The background for word number seven is at the end of the psalm, verse 31. But follow with me, verse 28. "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that are fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none shall keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation." Notice verse 31. This is a marvelous text. "They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this." Notice that phrase there. "He hath done this." This is the background for the word of victory. When Jesus hung on the cross, one of the most marvelous utterances he made on the cross, it is finished. Praise be to God. It is finished. It was tetelestai, means finished or paid in full. When you owed a debt and you had a bill and you paid that bill in full, they would stamp it, tetelestai. Paid in full. If you were a criminal and you went to jail, they would list your crimes on a piece of paper. They would post them on the jail. And after you've paid your crime, your debt to society, they would take a stamp and they would stamp your crimes on that paper to telestai. Then they would give it to you and you would go out free. If anyone would say, hey, you need to go back to jail, you know, you didn't pay your debt to society, you would hold up your little paper, to telestai, dude, to telestai. Nanny, nanny, nanny. Paid in full. Don't mess with me. I paid my debt. You know, this word is kind of cool, too. A farm worker would use it if he plow in the field. He'd put the plow on his back, and he'd get his ox, and he'd be out there plowing, and he's out walking the furrows and working hard all day. And when he would finish plowing the field, and he would untie the ox, and he would release the animal, and he'd be done with his work for the day, he's finished the job, guess what he would say? Tetelestai. It is finished. It's done. When an artist would paint a picture, and he would paint a beautiful picture, and he'd paint the picture, and he'd get back, and he'd put the finishing touches on his picture, his work of art, and he'd get back, and he'd look at his painting, you know what he would say when he finished his work of art? He would say, Tetelestai. It is finished. What were the first words recorded in the Bible from the lips of Jesus Christ? Know ye not, I must be about my Father's business? What are the last words recorded in the Bible of Jesus Christ and the Gospels? It is finished. Don't you know I came to be about my Father's business? The last words he said, it is finished. He came for you. He came to die for you, to give his life for you. And he tells us the one thing he never wants us to forget. He says, do this in remembrance of me. This is a sacred meal. Do this in remembrance of me. And he said, examine your heart. If you've got aught towards somebody, forgive them. If there's sin in your life, confess it. Ask God to search you and know you and try you and see if there be any wicked way in you. It's a time to get forgiven and cleansed and right with God. Communion's for sinners. So you're all welcome to take communion. Communion can't save you, and it won't save you. Faith in Jesus Christ saves you. It's only a symbolic act. It's merely a piece of bread and a little cup of grape juice. But it's a reminder that Jesus gave his life. It's a reminder to us that we ought to give our lives as a sacrifice. Live daily a sacrificial life in love for Jesus, him who died for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to die for our sins. And thank you, Father, that you loved us so very much that you gave your only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in him would never perish but have everlasting life. Life on a new level, on a new plane, on a new quality. Life eternal. Life eternal. Lord, help us to seize this moment now. Search our hearts, know our thoughts, cleanse us, forgive us, search us and know us and try us, O God, see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. As we take this bread and we drink this cup, help us to worship you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our might. Pour out your Spirit upon this place tonight, Lord. Meet us here in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this cup. And we do show the Lord's death until he come. Be magnified and glorified among us tonight. We pray, we ask in Jesus' most precious name. And everyone agreeing said, amen.